Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. Here's the reason you are politically comatose. I'm starting to realize I'm not the only one who's a political. I'm walking around like a sleepwalker because I know the Republicans are full of it. I know that they're fake. There's about three of them that I trust. We know that the entire budget fight was a faker. We know that Obama outfoxed them and kept NPR, PBS, all of his favorite socialist programs alive. The Republicans achieved very, very little. You know that they spent more in the 8 days preceding it than they cut for the next year. And yet we're told that the way to save the economy is to spend more, to increase the debt limit. This is total insanity. It's Orwellian. The way you cut back on an out-of-control spending is by spending more. Well, that would work for Soros and the bankers, of course. It would also work for the grifters who get the benefits. But what's the point of me going on and on about this? You could see the effect it has upon the criminals who run this country. Now, I realize I shouldn't say that because there's a new move afoot from the vermin in the media to call them distinguished, hardworking public servants, and how anybody who attacks public servants is divisive and perhaps even bordering on the criminal. In fact, I would see it in the near future that they pass a law saying it become criminal to attack one of these suits or skirts in Congress in some way that's considered uncivil, because they're hardworking public employees, as you well know, and they mean the best for America. I don't know about you, but I wake up every morning now looking and feeling like Marty Sheen in Apocalypse Now. I mean, I'm looking in the mirror. I'm ready to crack the mirror with my fist. I'm sweating. It's a nightmare what's going on in this country right now. And then I look, I turn on the TV, I get the sound bites for the day. You know Brzezinski, right? The man who just orchestrated the attack on Libya, the man who hates Israel, the national security advisor for Jimmy Carter. You know Brzezinski. Well, he has a daughter. And as you well know, the donut doesn't fall far from the hole. She has a show in the morning on MSNBC where she said rich white men drove the economy into the ditch. No, sweetheart. It's rich white men who actually paid for everything in this country. Are you insane? She said that she looked at the New York Times, a reliable source, and she saw that the top 30 earners were making great money. They were all white men, just one woman, no African Americans. We have a problem, she said, we need to address, sorry. Fatso Representative Gerald Nadler said, we're not broke, we're not taxing big corporations enough. Robert Reich, you don't know who he is, he's sort of a, I don't want to attack him for his size, but it's a way of knowing him. He is a guy whose legs don't touch the ground, and I don't really want to ridicule him for size. It's an issue that's sensitive to me as well. But he's therefore, this man lives on tenure jobs. He's teaching at Berkeley now, don't you know? God knows what he teaches the poor children. He goes again on the General Electric Channel, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Obama Channel, and he says it's patriotic for the rich to pay their fair share. Now, he's rich. His wife is rich. But he's making believe he's one of the downtrodden people who suffered directly from the Triangle Shirtwaist fire. Obama's maternal half-sister is asked about Trump going on about the birth certificate. She said she's hurt by it. And by the way, this just came out. Of course, we should have expected this from the empty suit Romney. Romney to Trump, Obama doesn't need a birth certificate. Well, I would have expected this from a guy like Romney. Romney's been nowhere. Romney is nowhere. Romney care is identical to Obamacare. Romney is just a shuck and a jive. Obama was born in Hawaii, Kenya, or even Paris. According to Romney, he says, because his mother was an American, he is eligible to be president. The Romney lawyers investigated this question in the 1960s when Mitt Romney's father, Governor George Romney of Michigan, was vying for the Republican presidential nomination. George Romney had been born in a Mormon colony in Chihuahua, Mexico, as his grandfather moved there with his wives in the 1880s after polygamy was outlawed in the U.S. Aha. So this is why Mitt Romney is suddenly concerned about the citizenship thing. This is very interesting. Now, we're going to start asking for Mitt Romney's birth certificate. This is great. We're going to ask for Mitt Romney's birth certificate next. This is funny. Originally, the passing of citizenship to children only applied through one's father, which is why George Romney, born in 1907 in Mexico to an American father, was automatically a U.S. citizen, while Winston Churchill, born 1874 in England, to an American mother, wasn't. Only in 1934 did Congress change the law so that citizenship automatically passed through one's mother as well. This is very intriguing. This is becoming very interesting. The whole birth issue is a good issue to discuss. Who is an American? Who is a citizen? It's a fabulous question. We know that birthright citizenship is a travesty. We know that millions of people have come here just to dump a child on the shore so they can collect welfare and go to college for free. We know this. We know it all. We know it. We know it very well. And for those of you on the left who are too stupid to waste your time to study the realities of it, let me give it to you right between the eyes. Canada, socialist nation, far more liberal than America. I'm sure most of you liberals would agree that Canada is a better country. Of course, you don't live there, but you just know intuitively that Canada is a better country. Now, how does Canada deal with the issue of birthright citizenship? Michael Savage knows because he studied the issue. There was a time not more than 10 years ago when Chinese were coming in, flooding into Canada in their ninth month of pregnancy and dumping babies on the shores of Canada so the baby would have all the benefits of being a Canadian citizen. Welfare, free schooling, you know how it goes. Well, a Canadian legislator of Chinese ancestry saw this and put a stop to it. He stopped the birthright citizenship in Canada. Do you understand this? It's all in trickle-up poverty. You don't want to understand it. I understand it. You'd rather joke around. You'd rather do nothing. You're brain dead. I understand you're comatose from it all. I am, too, in a way. I told you I'm not at in my normal home of San Francisco. I'm missing it already. I'm missing the freaks, number one. I'm missing the liars in office, number two. I'm missing the poseurs in the charitable business, the people who started out in desultory businesses, let's say, as hookers and then became fundraisers at museums. So I went to a store that sells tourist items. I don't know, maybe it's a mark of my age. I can't be sure. But they have these little cushions that have little sayings. And if, over the years, I would look at them and figure they were only for old people. Tiny cushions, you know, that you throw on a couch, that you figure geeky people have in the back of a trailer. I bought three of them today. One of them I saw a couple of years ago, but they were out. I found one today. It says, "In dog years, I'm dead." I don't know why it makes me happy, but I look at it and laugh. "In dog years, I'm dead." I like that one. That's one. $12. Made in America. Another one. "My family tree is full of nuts." Made me laugh hysterically. Bought that one. Another one. "I smile because you're my daughter. I laugh because there is nothing you can do about it." I don't know who makes these things up, but they're better than Chinese fortune cookies because you don't have to eat contaminated shrimp to get them. You know what I'm saying? Rimshot bang. I don't want to take one call on Soros and Obama. Please don't give me a call on that. You see, when I was a boy growing up in Queens, there was a thing called a finished basement. I don't mean a finished basement. A finished basement is something you would find in Finland. A finished basement was something you would find in Queens or on Long Island. And a finished basement was a dank, horrible place that was gussied up with knotty pine and a little cheap bar along the lines of the White House under Obama. And it was a place where the parents put on parties or whatnot. And in these finished basements, they would put up these little signs that were cute in those days, such as, "Old golfers never die, they just lose their, you know what," you know, that kind of thing. And as a kid, I would look at them, and I felt it all was good about the world, that parents could be so innocent to have such signs as that. So I guess I've arrived at a place in life where, although I don't have a finished basement, nor even a finished sauna, and certainly not a finished basement, I can now buy little cushions that say things such as, "In dog years, I'm dead." Now, if that marks me as old and not ready for radio, then pardon me. But I'll tell you the truth. There's only so much I can take of Obama and the Republicans. You know what I'm saying? All right, we're open for business. 1-800-449-8255. But if you want politics, here it is. Here's Barack Obama's top 10 flip-flops from the Telegraph UK, which makes even Jimmy Carter look like a stable man. Here are all of them. 1, keeping Guantanamo open. That's Obama's biggest flip-flop next to his shoe. Two, bringing back military tribunals for terror suspects. Because as a candidate, remember, Barry Obama was a firm opponent of the Bush administration's military tribunals. Three, continuing renditions of terror suspects. That doesn't mean drawings of them. That means sending them to third world countries where they're beaten and tortured to death to give up information. Four, ordering military action in Libya without seeking congressional authorization. We realize you liberals have looked the other way because, well, it's a good war. It's a D war. It has a D on it. Each bomb has a D. So it's not a real war like Iraq. Iraq was a bad war because it had an R on it. Five, dropping third site missile defenses in order to appease the Russians. Six, letting Sudan off the hook for the Darfur genocide. You know, 400,000 were killed. In 2004, then-Senator Barry Obama was a prominent supporter of a humanitarian intervention. Now that he's president, he looks the other way. Seven, backing a federal Europe after defending national sovereignty. Eight, pledging to restore America's standing in the world, but lowering it instead. Nine, dumping Mubarak and stabbing him in the back in Egypt after calling him a stalwart ally. 10, killing the NASA manned space program. These are Barack Obama's or Barry Obama's or Barack Hussein Obama's or Barry Hussein Obama's top 10 flip-flops from the Telegraph UK. What's the matter? Cat got your tongue? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. If you have something to say that's political, give us a call. If you have nothing to say that's not political, don't call me. I'll read the news. You listen. Former Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak has heart attack while being interrogated, questioning by prosecutors about his abuse while he was the leader. You hear this nonsense? America on the clock for a budget deal again. Do you owe back taxes? You may have to travel later. Study shows U.S. government could recoup billions by blocking passport access to those who owe back taxes to the IRS. But here's the shocker of the day. Go to michaelsavage.com. If this doesn't make your blood boil, you should leave the country. It's the picture of a criminal with a TSA uniform sticking her fingers inside the panties of a six-year-old girl at an airport. Art, put it back up on the site, please. I don't know. There it is. It's the middle of the site. A TSA criminal patted down a little girl, 6 years old, at an airport security checkpoint. I would put this woman in jail if I were the... And that's why I'm calling this a feral government agent molesting a six-year-old. Do you realize if a woman did this to a six-year-old girl at a mall, she'd be thrown in jail for 30 years for child molestation? But because what? The goon has a TSA badge? She's allowed to molest children? Look how the Muslims have won. Look how the radical Islamists are laughing in the cave. Look how you've given up liberty for a little bit of security. Look at how Big Sis abuses children. I'll be back. Savage.
You made me cry when you said goodbye. Ain't that a shame? My
pillow rain. Welcome to the world of the embroidered pillow. 1-800-449-8255. Is that the rest of my fate? I'm going to be surrounded by embroidered pillows in a trailer somewhere. Then Tommy Lee Jones can play the Michael Savage and the Michael Savage story. You know what I'm saying? That is so amazing, the embroidered pillow thing. Who writes them? And the woman said to me proudly in this this store here in this resort town, she said, "Oh, and they're made in America." I said, "That's amazing. That's wonderful. They're like $12 a piece, you know. In dog years, I'd be dead," that kind of. And then she went on and on. She said, "You know, there's a big festival coming soon to this town." I said, "Oh." I said, "Well, I'll stay away." She said, "Oh, no, it's wonderful." She said, "We're going to have conch." I said, "What do you mean conch?" She says, "Well, the Haitian people cook conch, and it's real delicious." I said, "Oh." I said, "Aren't they a protected species?" She said, "They sure taste good," she answered me. She was about an 80-year-old woman. She said, "They're like gators," she said to me. "Useful, all of it useful, the skin, the bones, the meat, like gators," as I walked out of the embroidered pillow store today in the South. I mean, I feel like I'm on Mars here. So I do miss the freak show of San Francisco, where no one talks, but you know they're all crazy. It's like a crazy, it's the air. It's about the air. That's why I don't travel. There's no point. There's nothing for me to see anymore. I did it all when I was younger. I traveled in Fiji, Tonga, Samoa. I traveled to places you never heard of in the islands collecting plants. I didn't just go as a tourist. So to me, traveling, if it's not with a purpose, has no meaning whatsoever. You travel for weddings or funerals. Otherwise, you know what I'm saying? I don't understand that. I don't understand what people see in it. I don't get it. There's no place on earth that really is worth going to, unless you have business there or a family. Whatever. J.C. Crew ad shows boy with pink nail polish. Top designer painting her young son's toenails neon pink. She says no big deal. Here's a story that'll rip your guts out. 1,000 attacked non-Muslim village in Nigeria. All the Catholics were killed. Every home in the village was destroyed. Elderly people were burnt to death in their homes by Muslims in Nigeria. Ho-hum. Yawn. What's new about that? Muslims rampaging in Africa and killing Christians? Ho-hum. And the UN is calling for a treaty that will give rights for bugs, giving Mother Earth the same rights as human beings. Bolivia just passed their own law giving equal treatment to bugs and trees. Bolivia is run by a psychopathic socialist strongman. And, of course, not one word about Muslims rampaging and killing non-Muslims in Nigeria. Ho-hum. Ho-hum. Why talk about it? Armed with machetes and guns, 1,000 Muslim militants attacked the village of Arewa, I don't know how to pronounce it, in the northern Nigerian state of Bauchi on April 7th. Almost every home in the village was destroyed, and some elderly people were reported to have been burnt to death in their homes, according to Christian Solidarity Worldwide. This group is part of a larger band of 2,000 Muslim militants that has been attacking non-Muslim villages. 15% of the nation's 146 million people are Catholic, according to Vatican statistics. 50% are Muslim, 25% are Protestant, and 10% retain indigenous beliefs. So as you can see, there's no concern about the death of Christians in the world. No concern whatsoever from Barack Hussein Obama. Less concern whatsoever from Hillary Rodham Clinton. But let's talk about embroidered pillows. Let's talk about the weather. Let's not talk about Muslims rampaging through Africa killing Christians. Ho-hum.
Savage.
Well, Trump just came out with another statement that's pretty interesting. The Quran teaches a very negative vibe. Maybe Donald will be banned from England along with Michael Savage. Quran teaches a very negative vibe. The English, of course, are concerned about the big upcoming royal wedding, you know, dancing on the back of the ship as the band played on. The country is sinking because of their fears. Trump says the Quran teaches a very negative vibe. He says, well, I'll tell you what, the Quran is very interesting. A lot of people say it teaches love, and there's a very big group of people who really understand the Quran far better than I do. He said, I'm certainly not an expert, but there's something there that teaches some very negative vibe. Ooh, can't say that. Now, it's true that during the Fort Hood massacre, he screamed Allah Akbar. That is the Muslim major. It is true that every time there's a terrorist event, they scream something along those lines. But you're not supposed to notice that. Not if you're Gerald Nadler or Barack Hussein Obama or anyone on the left or, frankly, anyone in the Republican Party would also be loath to suggest such a thing. It has nothing to do with the religion, nothing whatsoever to do with the teachings of the Holy Book, for sure. It's been a religion that's been hijacked by a few. A few? Well, a few have hijacked a great religion. They've hijacked a great religion. That's the official word. And if you dare step out of line, why, then you're a clown. Be a clown. The Quran teaches a very negative vibe, says Donald Trump. I suppose he won't be landing his jet at Heathrow in the near future. What else do we have? Oh, even Ann Coulter has said drop the issue to Donald. So she's now joined the crazies. That's interesting. So what's the difference between Glenn Beck and Ann Coulter? Answer, a male body part. Actually, you could put it the other way. What's the difference between Glenn Beck and Ann Coulter? Answer, nothing. Let's see what else is in the news. Britt Hume, he's the corp. He's the corpse. Why is he still on television? How could this man still have a television show? How is this possible? There's Bill O'Reilly, the leprechaun, still getting away with virtual psychic murder. John Stewart, whoever he is, he reads the stuff. You know why I don't like John Stewart? I'm not jealous of him at all. I know he's a schmuck. I know the type from Queens. I can tell you right now, we would have pushed him around. He's the kind of kid we would have taken his clothing off him. You know, during the writer's strike, he couldn't do a show. Jon Stewart could not do his show during a writer's strike because he didn't know what to say. That putz techa. That's old German for stupid idiot. Let's see who else is in the news. Krautzenhammer, that's a descendant of the Katzenjammer kids. The meanest man on television is Charles Krautzenhammer. Romney has to explain away health care plan. Irrelevant. Irrelevant. Wake up, schmucks. Trump says if I don't win GOP nod, I'll probably run as an independent. Robert Reich, the little man from UC Berkeley, who does nothing except go on television once in a while whenever anyone would have him. How could they pay this man a 10-year salary at Berkeley? What does he do? He teaches hate America, tax the rich. Robert Reich says it's patriotic for the rich to pay their fair share. Hey, schmuck, we're paying more than our fair share, putz. Robert Reich, red diaper doper baby through and through. I could just imagine what he learned around the breakfast table in Brooklyn. I could just imagine what they stuffed in his head around the between the pickles and the seltzers. Between the seltzer water and the pickle, I could just imagine what the grandfather told him about America. I could do a good mime on it right now, but I'm not on stage at the Radio City Music Hall. If I were, I'd break into a little ditty on the imaginary grandparent of Robert Reich. Believe me, you should only hate America. You'll be a wonderful man. If you hate America every day, it's like a vitamin to hate this country. But I can't do it here, so I won't. Philly, PA. Billy in Philly. Billy in Philly. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, your indignant rants, they're awesome. Step them up, and you can't be...
Well, no, I shouldn't step them up, because it's soon going to be illegal to be angry at the politicians. You can see where they're moving now. They're calling it divisive and somewhat un-American because they're such public servants.
Oh, God. Get the digs in while you can, and the sarcasm is awesome. That's why we tune into you. Your take on the world is just...
My sarcasm, you know why women like me? Because it's very like women like to be sarcastic. They're more sarcastic than men. Isn't that true? Men don't have the brains to be sarcastic. That's the only reason they're not sarcastic.
Well,
wait a minute. That's a good embroidered pillow statement. Let me think. In dog years, I'm dead. So I can make up my own embroidered pillows. Let's see. Men are not sarcastic because they don't have the brains to be. That's not a bad one. Well, why are women more sarcastic generally than men is a good question. Is it hormonal or that they're smarter?
Are you asking me?
I don't know. I'm asking you. I'm asking you here. I'm asking you.
I guess because they're smarter, yeah.
Are women really smarter than men? I think they have to be because men are such brutes in general. To put up with a guy and the way he is towards women, I look around sometimes. I mean, I could see why a lot of women become gay. I'll tell you the truth. I know I shouldn't have said that, but truthfully, you could see what happens with a lot of women, why they turn from men. It's piggish behavior towards women, truthfully. When I actually look at how the women are treated, it's a very complex story, truthfully. Anyway, we'll move on. I'm not on the stage of Radio City Musical. I'm on the stage of the Savage Nation. The Savage. No, I don't wear flip-flops. No, number one. No, I'm not a bleeding heart liberal, number two. No, I don't think, I believe the UN should be taken apart. I think the International Criminal Court is filled with moronic idiots with law degrees from Georgetown who themselves are probably criminals for going after the wrong people. Let's see, what else do you want to know? You have said nothing about a TSA agent putting her fingers inside a little girl's panties at an airport, making the girl cry. You have been beaten into a pulp by Big Sis and Big Barry. Big Barry and Big Sis have turned you into slaves. They have enslaved an entire nation with the myth of the TSA. You have been beaten into the slave class by Big Barry and Big Sis. I would never have permitted my child to be molested at an airport like this. I would have sued the TSA and the agent, and I wouldn't stop until she was in jail. As I say to you, if a woman came up to a daughter, a child 6 years old in a mall, and stuck her hands inside her pants like that, she would have gone to jail for 30 years. But in an airport, you mean, because she wears a badge? she's allowed to stick her fingers inside your daughter's. Now, of course, if the child had worn a veil, if the little white girl was wearing a veil and spoke Arabic, they never would have done that to her because it would have been a violation of her honor and her dignity. But since Americans are white trash, you can do anything you want to them, right? Isn't that the storyline? Dorian, New York, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. You were talking about women being more sarcastic than men, and I think that's because the majority of women have a lot more common sense, and men sometimes lack common sense, and we use the sarcasm to kind of like kick the common sense in them, make it come out, and understand our point.
So now you know why I use sarcasm.
Because you get your point across very clearly, and that's why we women understand it right away.
But that's the whole point. In other words, my job as a talk show host is to keep you moving, or else you wouldn't listen to me. So I got to use whatever tool I can, right? I don't have lipstick. I don't have legs. I don't have the lights and the flashing cameras. I don't have the Fox News girls' looks to sit there with empty heads to just move their legs around. Okay, so what do I have? All I have is my brain.
No, and you're grabbing sarcasm, which is a great tool. It works on everybody.
I was banned in England because of sarcasm. Do you know that? The land of the Magna Carta has banned me because of my sarcasm.
Well, you know what, Michael? Is
yeah,
there
you know what I say? They can keep their country. That's what I say. They can keep their fish and chips.
Okay, it's been great talking to you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure myself. You want to talk about the debt? In other words, in order to solve the debt problem, we need more debt. That's the answer from Barack Obama. There's only one way to solve the problem of the national debt, and that's to increase the debt limit, because in order to get ourselves out of this hole, we got to dig the hole deeper. If you're stuck in mud, something I learned when I was at Harvard is that when your wheels are spinning, you spin them even more, and that way the car doesn't move, but you have the illusion of it moving, and you feel better. This is what you call an Ivy League mentality. This is what's running the country today. Unbelievable to me. But, you know, if it was just him, it'd be one thing, but you have the repubes. The repubes went along with the game. I mean, it was a fraud. I mean, half the people. Let me give an example. He says he fired the czar, that they cut the funding off of the czars, right, in this budget battle. But the czars were gone anyway. And then you have a group like the National Institutes of Health, one of the most bloated agencies in the history of the world. It does virtually nothing. Trust me, as a former scientist who knows the world of academic science, there's been almost nothing that's come out of the NIH in 30 years. It's filled with academic businessmen who don't have the brains to create their own business. They live off grants. They do fraudulent science. They rig the data. They travel on the government dime all over the world to do experiments on... for example, here's like a study that they did. They went to gay bars in Thailand, and they discovered, after spending $3 million, that alcohol is somewhat responsible for risky behavior amongst gay men. Okay, that's an example of the NIH. But according to the Associated Press, the National Institute of Health funds critical medical research. How come they didn't add in, they're trying to solve heart disease, the cure for Alzheimer's and cancer? They're going to absorb a cut of $260 million, less than 1% of the NIH budget, instead of the $1.6 billion cut sought by House Republicans. Family planning programs, meaning abortion rats, would bear a 5% cut rather than being completely eliminated. Homeland insecurity programs would have to take their first ever cut, but most of it comes from a fraudulent moving of the dollars around. The IRS... was spared the 5% cut sought by House Republicans. In other words, almost nothing was achieved. The sad truth is the White House have rejected Republican attempts to block the EPA's. Do I have to read this to you? It's depressing. All you got to know is that fiscal conservatism makes sense. It doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican. It's how you run your house if you're a sane man or woman. If you're a fiscally conservative person, you will be able to balance your books. If you're a fiscally irresponsible person, welcome to the world of Barack Hussein Obama. Or, this is a news story that I'm not making up. Madoff wants to teach business ethics. That's correct. Bernie Madoff said he would teach at the college level, probably at NYU School of Business or Columbia. So that's the only two places that he would be worthy. Madoff says he would like to teach business ethics. I think as a Democrat, he would be perfect for teaching Democrat Party ethics. In a similar announcement, we learned that Obama wants to teach leadership skills. Biden wants to teach statesmanship. Eric Holder plans to teach law. Hillary is looking for an opportunity to teach charm. Nancy Pelosi is going to teach makeup the natural way. Anthony Weiner is going to teach bodybuilding. And Gerald Nadler is going to teach 5 steps to a trim and new you. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. What do you want to talk about? Oh, this is a good call. Tom in Chicago, go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. Love the show. I'm responding to the last lady you had on the phone who was using sarcasm as an indicator of intelligence. When I think of an intelligent person, I think some of the smartest people are comedians. And I would say on the whole, there's not a lot of funny female comedians, because a lot of women just use dime a dozen sarcasm as a substitute for humor.
No, let me explain this. This is a very important misunderstanding. No, the bad women comedians are using irony, not sarcasm. There's two distinct elements of humor. They're very different. I use sarcasm. I don't use irony. Irony is a subtext of sarcasm. It's something that's quite sophomoric. One of the cretins on MSNBC, every statement that comes out of her mouth is an attempt at irony, as though she's at a sorority house, and if you say it in an ironic way, you are thought to be clever and smart and with it. You get it? And that's what they use, is constant badgering you with sophomoric, ironic statements. But sarcasm is quite different than irony, as is satire, is different again. You know, I did a whole essay on this, and that's why I won the Freedom of Speech Award in 2007. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
No, Michael Savage was awarded the Freedom of Speech Award in 2000 by the Talkers magazines. But it's based upon the realities of me understanding the difference between satire, sarcasm, irony, etc. This is a very, very interesting subject that is worthy of discussion at another time, but thank you for the call. Let's go to Salt Lake City. Colleen, welcome to the program. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
I wanted to talk about Mitt Romney. The truth is that Romney Care is a microcosm of what national reform is going to look like, and it is a nightmare.
Correct. Anyone Everybody in Massachusetts who's ever called this show has told us that that Romney Care has almost bankrupted the state.
Absolutely. And the problem is, if Mitt denies that plan and says it was a nightmare, he looks foolish. And if he defends it, he looks even more foolish. And knowing that he has a lot of great qualities, I believe Romney Care is the one thing that will do him in.
I had dinner with Mitt Romney a year and a half ago, which he probably regrets. Now, let me start by saying he's a very excellent man as a human being. You know that, don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
There's absolutely nothing that you can fault this man with. He's got 5 wonderful children. He's a great family man. There's not a scandal in the man's past, and that's all positive. However, he's a classic liberal Republican in the worst possible way. He's a Rockefeller Republican. He's not going to do anything more than you got from the Democrats. It's going to be all window dressing with Romney. There's no fire. There's no attempts to control illegal immigration. When I brought up the issue of illegal immigration, he frankly was quite he didn't get offended by it, but he said, how do you deal with that without being called a racist? You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
And so he doesn't really understand that you can just deal with an issue and take it on and say, I'm sorry, we can't afford to pay non-citizens medicine, medical care, and all of that. You can do it without being called a racist. What do you care what the vermin in the media say? They're all irrelevant anyway. So anyway, no, I don't think he can win, incidentally. I think he will eventually lose because he's too nice. We don't need nice. We need a vicious attack dog to go after Obama during the debates. We need somebody who's going to take the gloves off and point their fingers in his face and say, you're the biggest fraud that ever came into the White House. You're an embarrassment both to your liberal base and to America. You are a disgrace to the American flag. Now that would get you elected. That's what most Americans think of this imposter. Okay, I'll take a break.
Savage.
I want to show you how insane the doublespeak has become in our country because of liberalism that's penetrated the journalism schools. Here's a headline out of the NBC New York website. Concerns for sex workers amid serial killer investigation. Sex workers are being advised to use the buddy system so that someone knows where they are. Now, certainly nobody is celebrating the death of hookers, okay? But to call a prostitute a sex worker is the equivalent of calling a junkie an injection drug user or a pimp a sex worker agent. This is getting crazier by the day. Trust your guts, said Maurice Mitchell Brody, a social worker who co-founded New York's Sex Workers Outreach Project. I don't know what that is, but apparently she's an ex-hooker who could no longer attract men, so she got a job at NYU. I don't know what that means, I'm guessing. Among the strategies the group advocates are so-called safe calls. Escorts, meaning hookers, make to friends in order to let each other know where they are. And when their session with clients, session, see, equal to a psychiatrist now. A hooker now is equal to Sigmund Freud. Well, your session is up, sir. We have to move on. Mitchell Brody said, tell somebody that if you don't hear from me by a certain time, call the police. How is that going to help them, stupid? The guy's going to cut her to ribbons and she's going to make a call? This is insanity. So I guess this leads to the argument, should prostitution be legalized? Because, I mean, it's an interesting question unto itself. Of course, morally, you'd be against it. Socially, it's an interesting question. Should prostitutes, should prostitution be legalized, taxed, et cetera, as it is in most uncivilized countries? I mean, we could always quote Denmark, what a great country that is. Spineless Denmark, the descendants of great, great ancestors. Look what they become, those wimps and drug addicts in Holland. Can you believe what happened to the northern countries? Prostitution, drug usage, spinelessness. Anyway, should prostitution be legalized is the question for you, not me. I'm not interested.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
If you care to talk about any other topic, including which songs on the rock and roll list that I have on the Savage Nation, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I want to read you some of the songs I have on my song sheets that bring back a certain time in America that I loved, when the chrome was thick and the women voted Republican. I like Sorry I Ran All the Way Home by the Impalas. I like Book of Love by the Monotones. I love Little Star by the Elegants. Play Little Star by the Elegants. I want to see that. That's on my song sheet number three. Little Star
Where
by the Elegants.
Are you
Little Star?
Where?
And I'll give you a memory lane. I'll give you a memory lane as I listen. Ninth grade, I had skipped the grade. I was small for my age. I was 2 years ahead of myself. Some of the kids in the junior high school had been in jail already and were released. So therefore, I was a small ninth grader, and there was some very large 12th graders who should have been in prison. And I was listening to this song. They were dating, and I was still playing with the airplanes at home. How's that for a memory? How's that for a Pickle of Truth tour? Let's stop for a minute. I'm going to really go out on a limb today. I'm in the mood to take a chance because Abuse of Power, guaranteed smash bestseller. The movie's going to knock you out. It's going to be so good, it's beyond belief. Won't be out till September. Don't ask me about it. So I feel as though it's graduation day, so I'm just going to have some fun. I'll do the news. I'll do the views. I'll do the reviews. But how much of this news can you take? We know Obama's a Marxist. We know that he's on training wheels. We know no matter what he does, no matter how that much damage he does, no one's going to stop him. We understand that we don't live in a democracy. We understand we live in a dictatorship that's punctuated by a democracy every 4 years, if you want to call buying the election a democracy. Let's see, the cost of a seat for a Senate seat is $100 million. The cost of the presidency is $1 billion. Anyone want to enter it in this great democracy of ours? Oh, yeah, in America, anyone can be president as long as you can raise $1 billion. That's all. I don't even want to get into this, truthfully. I told you I feel good. And I'm not going to let it be ruined by you. Just because you're a listener who wants to see me crash and burn, I'm not going to do it. So I'm going to look at my song sheet now. We got a whole lot of shaking going on. No, too hectic. In the Still of the Night by the Five Statins. No, I'm not into the triglyceride problem right now. Heartbreak Hotel by Elvis Presley. Eh, a little dated. Keep a Knockin' by Little Richard. A little dirty. Love is Strange by Mickey and Sylvia. God, play Love is Strange by Mickey and Sylvia. I want to hear Love is Strange. Bah, 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 bah. Remember this stupid song? Hitting that cowbell really worked.
Take it for a game.
And it was called that hillbilly background guitar is what did it for us boys in New York. It was so different in our lives. That whole thing of the hillbilly guitar, we loved it. God, we loved it. It was so, like, rhythmically sensitive to our needs. All right, knock it off. I know what they want. They want the red meat. They want the right-wing red meat. Just give them the red meat. Cut out the ad-lib, Mike. Cut out the music. We don't pay to hear you do the music. You can't have a good time, Mike. Do the news. Stick to the work. Kill yourself. Eat your heart out. Go to an early grave. Every day, dig it deeper, Mike. Go ahead. Go into the news. Talk about the communists in the White House. Eat your heart out over the fake Republicans. Go ahead, Mike. Eat your heart out. They'll listen to music. Don't enjoy yourself. They don't want to hear anything, but stick to the hard work. All right, cut the garbage. No jokes. No entertainment. All right, cut it out. We're not interested in Come Softly to Me by the Fleetwoods. All right. How about Blueberry Hill? I play that too much. Now, here's one I liked. Sorry I Ran All the Way Home by the Impalas, and I'll tell you why. The minute you listen to it, you'll know why I love this song, or at least I did when I was a kid. Let's hear Sorry I Ran All the Way Home. Yeah, turn the show off and listen to the grandmother getting a hysterectomy without anesthesia. Go ahead. Go hear the histrionic yells and the screams. See if I care. Go listen to your grandmother screaming.
Hey, mama, hey, baby. The Republicans are good. Oh, bam, no good.
Okay, turn it off already. I know why I like this song, but I don't want to tell you. It's too personal. I'll save it for the Pickle of Truth tour that I'll do one day. The Pickle of Truth tour, that's very funny.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Pretending that I'm doing well.
It is the Savage Nation. Crazy world. It's a mad, 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 mad world. Degenerates. More popular than ever. Communists getting away with being communists. People don't know anything. They're like idiots. You see mothers feeding their children poison food. Here, honey, have a nice cocoa and a jelly donut for breakfast. And they're allegedly good looking. I see the women. You know, middle class, nice looking blondie dummies. They themselves were raised by dummy mothers, hippie mothers. And I don't know what to say. I can't say anything because they could arrest you for even saying anything. I feel like saying, lady, you're poisoning your child. Stop feeding him cookies for breakfast. They're sending him to school. He gets the shakes. Put him on a pill. So it's hopeless. The whole thing is hopeless. I thank God that I don't have to start and raise children now. I don't know what I would do. Fight with the teachers every day. All right, let's take some callers. Cut out the, let's get down to work, Mike. I know. All right, get back to work, Mike. No reminiscing. Get back to the economy. Get back to Libya. Stick to the basics. It's a talk show, Mike. No variety. Don't vary. Don't go off topic. Now, Mike, stick to what you know best. That's it. Libya, war, communism. That's all. Taxes. Republicans good. Democrats bad. Got stick to the basic theme that the other schmucks do. Don't get sidetracked, Mike. Let's go to Johnny in Biloxi, Mississippi. Johnny, welcome to the program.
Hey,
Dr. Savage, great to talk to you. Hey, instead of talking about all that crap, how about some stories about when you used to work with your dad?
All right, that's interesting. I'm a New York kid originally. You're from Biloxi, Mississippi. Totally different cultures. And yet here you resonate with the stories of my dad. Tell me which one comes to mind. Like if you were to say, pick one out of a hat that you remember.
I remember something about down in the basement.
You mean cleaning the bronzes with the cyanide solution?
Yeah.
I don't know of another kid who was subjected to that kind of Charles Dickens-like childhood, do you?
I don't know. You know, there's a lot of things going on, and, you know.
Johnny, let me ask you, when you were a kid, did you work with your dad?
Yeah, I did. Well, actually, my dad disappeared when I was real small and I had a stepfather.
So you kind of missed the story of a father and son. Is that really it? I'm not trying to be sarcastic. Is that why you asked?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Johnny, when you listen to my show, what is it that you want to hear? What? More of those stories in your own mind? Because what? It reminds you of a thing you missed in your life. Is that it?
Well, you know, it's part of, part of hearing your childhood. Yeah, it does, bring out something that interests me. But really, I listen to your show because, of the intelligence and the intellect that you have about the whole situation in our country.
I understand I have a good insight to things. I always have. I've been blessed with the ability to see things as they are without a lot of clouds around them. But I do think that at this stage of the day and of the month and of the year, most people have heard most of it at this time of the day. So I'm reluctant to just do hardcore, news at this point, Johnny.
Yeah, well, we all get sick and tired. You know, a lot of us get sick and tired of hearing it, and we'd like to be refreshed with just some...
I understand. It's very hard to come up with new stories unless they're real, so I appreciate that. I mean, I don't want to do an old story about the one-breasted, man and the delivery to his house in Long Beach in the Godfather house and how shocked I was to see a man with one breast and a half a mustache from Ringling Brothers who bought odd objects as a kid delivering the goods to that house was strange, crazy, made me part of the man I am to see that there are a variety of individuals. So please don't lecture me about diversity. I love when they lecture me on diversity. Like, I need to listen to them tell me about diversity. I just love it. All of the schmucks who grew up in these hothouse environments, straight-out white bread environments, went to Yale. They're lecturing me on diversity, all of these communists in the government. Okay? Don't tell me about diversity. Did you ever deliver a bronze to a man with one breast when you were 9? I guarantee you didn't. Half the people in the Obama administration, they probably have them arrested. They're telling me how to relate to it. I didn't relate to him in any strange way. So he wore something to cover the breast. I didn't look at the breast. I knew it was there because we had seen him in Ringling Brothers. And then it's interesting when you see a man at his work and then you see him in a personal setting. It doesn't matter whether they're a lawyer, like off-duty the lawyer, or judge, let's say, without the cloak. Could you imagine a judge, like, without a black robe, without a gavel, sitting and having a beer in a tavern somewhere in your neighborhood? No, you can't. But imagine, put it another way. Can you imagine, we all did this as a kid, and there's nothing wrong with it. I bet that 99% of the men listening to this show had some fantasy about their teachers with regard to lovemaking, right? I'm sure of it. Most guys do because they're crazy. Young men at a certain age are just all crazy. They shouldn't even be in school. They should be in the Iraq military crossing a minefield going on to Iran. That's all they're fit for. But instead, you got to learn geometry. So in the midst of sitting there half out of your mind, what you do is you fantasize all day long. And most guys fantasize about only one thing, which is, you know what? That's all. They don't fantasize about the energy problems or about Libya. Most people don't think about it. Even at this minute, the world could be coming to an end. All the guys walking down the street, wherever they are, they're thinking about one thing only. One thing. There's only one thing on their mind, and it's not dinner. So there's nothing you could do about it. It's human nature. And the demagogues take advantage of it. They know your nature, so they keep throwing salaciousness at you. And they elect dummies, one after the other, one demagogue after another. So what do you want to talk about? Play If I Were a Rich Man now, just for the heck of it. I'll do another little spritz in a minute, then we'll take a break. You got If I Were a Rich Man? Maybe it's not in the song sheet. That's a little off the beat. It's illegal in America to play this because the Muslims get offended.
If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. If I were a pity, pity rich, idle man.
Yeah, if you worked for the government, you could sing the same song, by the way. big tall. You wouldn't have to be a rich man. You wouldn't have to work. Just go to work for the Obama administration. Every day is a vacation. All you do is count your pension and sue anybody who says something else. Turn it off. They can't hit two things at once. That's all. What do you want from me? Don't think I don't have my problems. I have plenty of problems, but you got to overcome them every day. Every day you got to stand up to your own weaknesses. Do you know that? My mother, may she rest in peace, would say to me, I don't even take an aspirin. If I'd say, I got a headache. She said, what do you think? I don't have a pain? So what? She says, ignore it. Today, if a kid says, the mother says to him in the morning, how do you feel? What hurts? Which part of your body hurts? The head, the tail, the foot, the arm? You got a little pain here? They're like Munchausen by proxy parents now. They ask the child where the pain is. Even if the kid doesn't have anything wrong with him, he says, I don't know. The other night I felt something. Oh, call a specialist. It's just for free anyway. You know what I'm saying? It's for free anyway. Someone else is paying for it. Then they go to a crackpot. No, let me look. Do a C-SPAN. Do a C-scan. Do a C-section. Do a D-section. Do an E-section. Whatever costs more, do it. So we don't get sued by my brother-in-law, who's the lawyer, who threatens to sue so I can justify the investigative reporting that I'm doing on the man, the kid's body. It costs $29,000 to find out that the kid had nothing wrong with him. But put him on Prozac anyway, just in case, as a preventive. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You know, I've never done a gun show. It's like the third rail of radio, of talk radio. I own guns. I don't sit there polishing them with my eyes crossed, you know, drinking Jim Beam, staring at pictures. I mean, I rarely touch them. Once in a while, I go to the range, and, you know, if you're good enough at 20 feet, what more do you need? When you think about it, what's a gun for? 20 to 30 feet in your house. 10 feet is even better. You know what a gun range should really be doing is, like, they should have a bed in a If I opened the gun range, I would set up cots in the, you know, like in little alleyways, the stalls that you use in the gun range. And you'd get to lay down, and there would be like a mock dresser with your gun in the dresser drawer. And a bell would ring, and you'd have to jump up, pull a gun, and fire in the dark at a target within 10 or 15 feet. Now, that would be good. You know, I love guys who are like, you know, I go past a studio. I have to laugh. I appreciate expertise. I really do. In my bicycle riding, I go past a studio where they teach Taekwondo. That's all white guys. They look like puffballs to me. And they're usually older men. And they like, it's so absurd. They come, the guy walks towards the other guy and he lays down on the ground. Walks towards him, lays on the ground. Walks towards him and lays on the ground. Walks towards him and lays on the ground. All this gentle motion. Now, you think you could translate that into a street fight with a guy who's going to kick you in the groin and punch your lights out? Do you actually think a guy who studied Taekwondo is going to stand a chance against a thug who can punch him right in the nose as fast? You see, you don't understand something. A predator doesn't give you a chance to put on a white uniform and bow to him. A predator doesn't tell you what he's going to do. A predator will strike without you even knowing he struck. You'll be on the ground. It doesn't mean it's not good exercise, but there you go again. So it's the same thing with shooting ranges. I know guys who are crack shots with a gun in a range. They line it up, and they have the bullets, and they have the gun, and they have the target, and they press it, and they can hit a bullseye at 20, bang, boom, bing. But what would be the difference in that? I mean, there'd be a big difference between that setting and sleeping in your bedroom and having an invader come in. Could you pull a gun half asleep and fire the gun with any degree of accuracy? I don't know. So that's why I say it's all kind of, it's esoteric to me, all of this martial arts, to a great extent. It doesn't mean there are not martial artists who can kill an average guy in a street fight. There certainly are. Particularly, there are forms of martial arts that are built around street fighting. There's an Israeli Kav Magra, I think. Kav Maga, I don't know what it is. I went to a studio once. Just going in there, my back went out of alignment. I just walked into the studio. I walked out, had a backache for a month. Just going into the studio. It's an incredible martial art. It's, you know, I asked the guy who runs it, this Israeli martial art, Kav Maga. So he said to me, basically, it's using anything from a chair to a jiu-jitsu to fell the opponent. In other words, if there's a chair, pick it up and break it over the guy's head.
Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
Joining us right now is a person who is the antithesis of socialism. Donald Trump, welcome to the Savage Nation. Donald, look what's going on in our country. The one we grew up in is not the one we're living in, is it?
No, it's changing rapidly, and it's changing for the worse, and something has to be done about it quickly, or we're going to have a whole different place.
Donald, I open up the local San Francisco paper. Tax hike on rich appeals to voters. Strong bipartisan support for 1% increase, poll shows. And then you read the poll that was done by the California Federation of Teachers. You live in Florida, which is a tax-free state, and you run an incredible organization, the Mar-a-Lago. Isn't it true that many, many of the wealthy in Florida are, in fact, tax refugees from other states like California?
Well, it's true. I mean, very many came down from New York. They came down from other locations because Florida does have a very friendly tax area. And, you know, you can even take it to an international level when they start taxing you at a high level from the federal government. I know people. These are not people that particularly love anything. These are hardened veteran business people, and all they care about is the dollar, and maybe that's very unfortunate. But they'll leave the country in order to get tax refuge. And you're really competing now on a world basis, just like New York is competing with Florida and New Jersey and everything else. So you really have to be very careful with the tax rates, or you're going to lose a lot of great and very productive people.
Donald, in the state of California, we're paying 10.5% state tax. They want to add another 1%. There is a point at which people will flee. It's interesting what you just raised. Which countries are tax havens, in essence? I don't know of any.
Well, you can go to places like Switzerland, and, you know, frankly, there are a lot of very beautiful countries that really do cater to very wealthy people and corporations of very wealthy people, and people do leave. I mean, they will move around, and they're trying to find the best tax haven. And I don't say that in a negative way. I think it's something I wouldn't want to do necessarily. I'm very proud of this country. But
right,
people do leave, just like they leave New York, just like they leave, frankly, California, because California is losing a lot of people to other states.
Right. Well, manufacturing has gone a long time ago because of the draconian red tape. Donald, let's talk about Libya, because it's a nightmare. He went in. It's unconstitutional. He bypassed Congress. He signed a secret deal to put in CIA operatives. Nothing he did was legal. Even his left wing admits that. And now they're saying people who were yesterday peaceniks like Dianne Feinstein are saying, go in and assassinate Gaddafi. It's shocking to me to look at this. They don't know what they're doing, do they?
Well, you know, the other thing is they really don't know who the so-called rebels are. I heard your show the other day. You were saying about the word rebel. It sounds so brilliant. It sounds so wonderful, like these are the greatest people. Well,
yeah.
You know, I'm hearing they're very closely associated with Iran. I'm hearing they're very closely associated with Al-Qaeda. I'm hearing all sorts of things about these people. And you say, what are we doing? What are we doing? Because that would actually be worse than Gaddafi, if that's the case. In my opinion, it would probably be worse, a step worse than Gaddafi. So we're spending all of this money. We're doing it because the Arab League, which is the wealthiest countries in the world, by the way, Saudi Arabia,
mm-hmm,
and various others. I won't get into the names because I know them all very well, and I have friends there. But, I mean, all of these countries told us to do it, and we did it. And every time we send up a missile, it's $1.5 million. We've spent over $1 billion in the last week and a half. And they have no intention of reimbursing us. They just wanted to get rid of Gaddafi. It looks like he's a lot tougher than Obama. I mean, despite the fact that we have 1,000% advantage militarily.
Right.
And it looks like he's driving the so-called glorious rebels back. And, you know, it's a pretty pathetic situation.
It is. It makes America look very weak, very indecisive. You and I both know from the time we were children, even though we grew up on different sides of the Union Turnpike, so to speak.
That's right.
You never start a fight that you don't think you can win. Did they not think this through, Donald?
Well, this was amazing because in the same speech, almost the same sentence, he said that we want to get rid of Obama, and then he said, but we'll do nothing to get rid of him, right? So he turns out to be a lot tougher cookie. But if you think of it, we want to get rid of it, but we don't want to do anything to help the regime change, right? And I was listening to this speech, and I'm saying, am I hearing correctly? You want to get rid of him or you don't want to get rid of him. I mean, the truth is we don't know what we're doing.
When you say we, you mean the administration seems to
be...
Well,
I'm talking about our leaders. Our leaders.
They're taking it a day at a time. Donald, they seem to be doing this on the fly. They lurch, they jerk. According to what I've been able to discern, Obama himself was not even in favor of military action, nor was Gates. It was conducted by Hillary Clinton, Samantha Powers, and Miss Rice, who decided to go to war against Gaddafi without much thought about how to go about doing it. What kind of leadership is this? The answer
and
is...
They didn't know, very importantly, who were fighting for. I mean, they thought the rebels were these glorious, wonderful people, and then now all of a sudden they're getting reports that 3 years ago they were shooting at us in Iraq, and they were fighting us, and, you know, it's just inconceivable. And now it looks like it's a war that, frankly, Gaddafi might end up winning, and we may be afraid to get rid of Gaddafi. I think they're finding out things about the rebels that are so bad that they're afraid to get rid of Gaddafi because they think the rebels are going to be worse.
And you know, Donald, there's no... See, but you have a show where you can say to people who are stupid, you're fired. We don't have a government where we can say you're fired. We live in a dictatorship that is punctuated by democracy every 4 years. And unfortunately, we're stuck with this group of amateurs for two more years. God only knows what other damage they're liable to do. So let's talk about the other damage they're liable to do. If you were president, if you do decide to run and you were president, I know you've talked about making people pay their fair share. If the Arab League were the ones who egged us on through Hillary Clinton, why don't they pick up the cost of the war? They have nothing but money.
Well, I've been saying this. They have trillions of dollars in the bank. They're the richest countries in the world. They've been ripping us off for years. I mean, just ripping us. 12 men sit around a table, and in this case, all men, they sit around a table and they set the price of oil. Oil, I don't know if you heard, but economy, because you can't pay that. And,
yep.
You know, I see these poor guys, they're investing in the stock. Well, the fact yep. is, when oil goes above $40, we have trouble. It's now at 108. And
right.
it's a real problem. And to think that we'd go in and not even ask them for the money
yep.
that it's going to cost to get rid of their enemy, Gaddafi, is
right.
inconceivable.
Well, it's the same with every other military venture. We've talked about this on the show before, Donald. We spent, what, $3 trillion liberating the Shia of Iraq? And they're sitting on one of the largest oil reserves in the world? And Bush never demanded reparations in the form of free oil? What's that all about?
Well, you know, the most interesting thing of all is Iraq, because we went in, we hit somebody that, frankly, we could have gone after the people that really, you know, the terrorists didn't come from Iraq that knocked down the World Trade Center. They came from other places. Namely, if you look, they put their families on the plane. You know where they
yep.
headed? Back to Saudi Arabia.
Right, they came from Saudi Arabia, of course.
They headed back to Saudi Arabia. They didn't head to Iraq. But regardless, so we got stuck in this war. We've spent $1.5 trillion. We've lost thousands of great people. We have people walking around with one arm and one leg all over. And what do we have? The minutes, 15 minutes after we leave Iran, because we have so denuded and weakened that, you know, for years, for hundreds of years, they'd be fighting each other back
right.
and forth. We have so denuded Iraq that within minutes after we leave, they're not going to mess when we're there. But once we leave, we're not going back because we don't have the heart to go back after that mess after so many years. Iran is going to come over, take over Iraq and the oil fields. And by the way, you just said it. People don't realize this. The second largest oil fields in the world after Saudi Arabia. So Iran is going to come in. They're going to take over the oil fields. And all of those people will have died in vain because that's what we're going to get. We're going to get that. So what I said last night, very simply, if I know, and I know for a fact, Iran is going to come up. They probably won't even have to fire a shot because if you look at what's happening, they're getting along very well with the so-called leaders of Iraq. I don't know if you see what's
going on. They are the leaders, but it's... Look, we toppled the Sunni leader who was the monster Saddam, who kept the Shia population under control through terrorism, frankly.
And who killed terrorists, by the way, Saddam.
That's exactly right. He was actually...
Now he
was our best friend. Saddam was our best friend, and everybody knows that.
Well, I will say this. He killed terrorists. You didn't have terrorists in Iraq. He used to shoot them. He used to kill them immediately. Now it's the Harvard of terrorism. You want to become a terrorist, you go to Iraq. Here's the point. You go, you take, if we know that Iran is taking over the oil, and we know that's going to happen, we should take the oil, and we should stay there. You know, in the old days, when you fought a war, you took over a country, you fought a war, you won. We fight a war, after everyone's crippled, we go and we leave, and people that we never even heard of take over the country. And by the way, these people will be just like Saddam. They'll they'll be building palaces to themselves very shortly. It is unbelievable. So what I say, second largest oil fields in the world, if we know, and we know, that Iran will come in, we say, Iran, you just stay right over there. Don't worry about it. We wrap our soldiers around the oil fields. We take over the oil fields. We pay ourselves back $1.5 trillion. We give some money to Britain. They spent plenty. And others that helped us. And we also take care of Iraq. We give plenty. There's plenty for everybody. They have $15 trillion worth. I don't know if you know this. $15 trillion worth of oil underground. There's plenty to go around for everybody.
Well, I agree with you on that. This was a blunder of Bush, not of Obama. But now Obama seems to be making the same type of blunder on a smaller scale in Libya. And I don't know who advises these people is the issue. What about drilling in America? I am a conservationist. I have been all my life. I have the bona fides for it. I don't want to have to reiterate them, Donald. But there comes a point at which you have to drill, drill, and drill. We can drill in the Rocky Mountains. We can drill in the Alaskan slope. We can drill off the shore of California. Would you agree that we're not drilling sufficiently for our own needs?
Well, in many ways, we're not drilling at all. I mean, these people that are trying to go back into the Gulf, they're having a hell of a time getting back in there, and they're just now getting certain clearances, and nobody knows what took so long. We should drill all over. I mean, we should drill. I've gotten many environmental awards. I'm very environmentally conscious. I have gotten so many awards. And people don't know that about me. But we should drill. We have to drill. And you can drill in a very responsible manner. The other thing we should use is coal. We have more coal than anybody. We should use coal. Now, I don't know, when they use the word clean coal, I don't know if it's perfectly clean. But when you look at what's happening in Japan, you know, all of a sudden people are changing their mind on nuclear, and I'm not sure I blame them.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. There is low sulfur coal plant. There are low sulfur coal plants that are being shut down as we speak. They're perfectly fine and very efficient. Donald, you do business with a lot of folks all around the world and in China. You've told me that you've told the show, you mentioned on the show that the Chinese laugh at us for the foolishness of our leaders. Is it that they're naive, or is it they're just simply bought and paid for, in your opinion?
Well, you know, I used to think that they were, frankly, naive and or stupid. I don't know which is the better word to describe it. But I actually think that if you go down to Washington and you try and get a lobbyist, and then you say, here, we want a lobbyist against, let's say, OPEC, maybe you can get some guy that just graduated from college. But for the most part, they're all taken because OPEC has them all. I mean, they have so many lobbyists, it's incredible. China has so many lobbyists. So I really think that the lobbyists have a lot to do with it. You know, they go in representing China. They go in representing OPEC. And these politicians are like, you know, they don't want to mess around because they have fundraisers. The lobbyists give them big fundraisers for little political campaigns. It's hard to believe. And what I told you last time, and I say it again because it happened recently, I know the people of the world. I know the very rich people of the world. Many times they buy apartments. I sold one recently for $33 million. I sold one for $40 million. I saw a lot of very wealthy people apartments. Okay, so I get to know a lot of people. People from other countries cannot believe how stupid our leadership is. They cannot believe. And by the way, I don't hold it against the other countries. If China can get away with what they're doing with the manipulation of their currency and everything else, I say my hat is off to you.
There you go.
But it's hard to believe. And the people that I know, now they're not as open with me now because they're hearing I'm considering running. They're saying to one of them, said, oh my God, I can't believe I told you all this stuff. I had no idea you'd ever do this. But they say to me, previously, we cannot believe that you guys allow us to get away with it. And then they all laugh, and everybody laughs, and everybody's having a good time, but they can't believe it. And then the president of China that just rips us off, we give him a state dinner at the White House fit for a king, which of course he is, essentially. But we give him a dinner honoring him at the White House instead of saying, you know, like, folks, there's not going to be any dinner. And we have such power over them. What a lot of people don't realize, we are rebuilding China because they're doing so much. They made $300 billion. They're going to make more than $300 billion on us. Let's call it profit this year. $300 billion. In addition to that, they're taking all our jobs. They're making all our things. The funny thing is, then they take all that money and they loan it back to us, and we pay them interest. So, with the right thinking in the White House, that could be reversed so quickly. Your head would spin. And believe me, and I know something about this. Believe me, we have the cards. They don't have the cards.
Well, Donald, if you do decide to run for the presidency, I will nominate myself to run the Environmental Protection Agency, which I would eliminate within the first year. because I have the credentials to do so. And believe me, nobody wants to
do that, Michael.
Donald Trump on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Living in biblical times, for those of you who don't believe in the Bible, I'm going to read you one line. Try to bear with me. I know when you say Bible, you think it's pornographic in our society today. You'd rather hear a degenerate reading pornography and laugh at it as though it is the Holy Grail. But when you actually hear the words of the Hebrew prophets, you think it's somehow pornographic to hear it on an AM radio station. So let me read you one of my favorites. It's from Isaiah. As for my people, a babe is their master and women rule over them. Bingo, that's all a one-liner. That was that hard for you to hear? Written thousands of years ago by a prophet named Isaiah in the Old Testament. As for my people, a babe is their master and women rule over them. O my people, they that lead these cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord is pleading with you. They're begging you to listen to him. He's begging you to listen to him. But you're not listening to God. You're listening to, well, what's the difference? I don't have to go down the litany. It's too late in time for me to play games with words. As for my people, a babe is their master and women rule over them. That's Isaiah 3:9 for those of you who are interested in the Bible. Now, I don't want to be a Bible thumper at the risk of alienating those of you who are terrified of God. But in articles in the American Thinker, where it says, in praise of Michael Savage, Bible thumper. And it starts with this. It says, you don't care. You have no morals, thump. And because you're immoral, we have an amoral president, thump. The country is dying, thump, thump. Wake up, America, shouts a most unexpected prophet. A throwback to the Old Testament prophets he is so fond of quoting. Meet radio talker and elite bêtenoir Michael Savage, Bible thumper extraordinaire by Stuart Schwartz. On any given weekday, he will open his Bible and read the words of God to the third largest audience on radio, thereby enraging even more, if that's possible, the liberal and conservative elites that already regard him as the nation's whatever. It is one thing to spout, as Esquire puts it, racist, homophobic diatribes, but talking God adds insult to injury. Actually, I wasn't interviewed by Esquire. Okay. And he talks God to almost 10 million listeners a week, asserting that the Washington Times put it that America's salvation rests on returning to its enduring Judeo-Christian roots. You've got this whole thing. You've heard all of this, haven't you? You've heard all of this. I'm not going to read you the whole article. So it is part of my show, this radio thing. This Bible thumping, because sometimes on days like this, there's nowhere else to go. You've all watched cable news. You've all heard the pundits. You've read the news articles. You've read the internet. So I feel at this point we have better plumb to deeper depths. Let's go into the bedrock of our Western civilization and see what we come up there. Let's drill down to the bedrock of wisdom in this nation, the bedrock upon which the entire West is built. Whether you know it or not, it was not built on HBO. The bedrock of American civilization is not built upon MGM. The bedrock of civilization, your civilization, and the best hope for humanity going forward is built upon the bedrock of the Bible. And so, although I am myself an extremely imperfect man, all men are imperfect. That's why we're not God. Only God is perfect. I'm an imperfect man, and that's why I turn to the Bible when I have no answers.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, let's start with some of the sound bites that we've culled today because they speak for themselves. You remember Brzezinski, the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, anti-American, or shall I say patriotic, you take your choice, national security advisor for Jimmy Carter. He has a daughter. Well, as I say, the Oberstrom's daughter doesn't fall far from the Oberstromer. She has a show on MSNBC with a former fake Republican. And she said today, rich white men help drive the economy into the ditch. Her father's rich. She's rich. You love how it works, don't you? That's how commies work. And she went on and she said, all white men did it.
I just don't understand why, with top earners doing better than ever, why they can't be a part of this equation. I'm sorry. It would just be a lot easier to swallow. And if you looked at the New York Times yesterday and you saw the top 30 earners and how much money they are making all over again, including some of the people who drove us into the ditch, all white men, by the way,
right.
Just one woman, and I didn't see any African Americans.
Right.
I think we have a problem that we need to address as a society. Sorry.
Oh, the top 30 earners in the New York Times report. All white men, just one woman, no African Americans. We have a problem. We need to address it. And then there's Fatso, Representative Gerald Nadler, said we're not broke. We're not taxing big corporations enough.
The Republicans keep saying their mantra is the country is broke. We have to cut services. We have to cut Medicare and eliminate Medicare for all practical purposes. We have to cut Medicaid, cut everything. President has not been saying what he should have been saying, which is the country is not broke. We're simply not taxing the big corporations enough. We're not taxing the millionaires and billionaires enough.
Then there's Robert Reich, the little guy from the University of California at Berkeley, who sits there throwing jabs at everybody from his perch at Berkeley, his full-tenured Berkeley. He says it's patriotic for the rich to pay their fair share. As though he's poor.
Most Americans in polls show that they are in favor of a millionaire's tax. They know. They're not stupid. They understand that the alternative, the only alternative to cutting Social Security and Medicare and education and roads and bridges and everything we need is to raise taxes. And most people can't afford to pay more in taxes. So who can afford to pay more in taxes? The rich, who've been getting a steadily larger percent of total income in this country.
Classic left-wing garbage. Then there's Obama's maternal half-sister, who was asked about Trump going on about the birth certificate. She says it hurts her.
I think it's unfortunate. He was born in Hawaii. There is a tremendous amount of proof that has already been presented. The then Republican governor and head of the Department of Health in Hawaii even attested to the fact that the birth certificate that they inspected was in fact valid. It's in the newspapers on the day of his birth.
Donald Trump says he is Christian. The Bible is the book and the thing. And there's a Republican, Daryl Issa, says we must raise the debt ceiling. Duh.
It's inevitable that it will pass. We will undoubtedly vote. I will vote to raise it. It does have to come with a real come to Jesus moment where we say, and what are we doing along with raising the debt ceiling? Are we making changes in how we raise and spend money, or are we simply kicking the can down the road for our grandchildren? That's the moment we're hoping to use, along with Paul Ryan's budget, which we intend to pass in a timely fashion. But we've got to start talking about how we're going to spend less, not more.
Ugh. And you thought he was on the level, huh? Then there's Mitt Romney. He's announcing an exploratory committee for the presidential bid.
I'm also convinced that with able leadership, America's best days are still ahead. That's why today I am announcing my exploratory committee for the presidency of the United States.
The world's been burning, the world's on fire, and he said nothing, but he's thinking about running for the office. Good. Keep going, Mitt. Just what we need right now. Another lifetime politician. Here are Barack Obama's top 10 flip-flops from the Telegraph UK. One. Biggest flip-flop, keeping Guantanamo open. Two, bringing back military tribunals for terror suspects. Three, continuing renditions of terror suspects. Four, ordering military action in Libya without seeking congressional authorization. Five, dropping third-site missile defenses in order to appease the Russians. Six, letting Sudan off the hook for the Darfur genocide. In 2004, Senator Obama was a prominent supporter of a humanitarian intervention in Darfur. 7, backing a federal Europe after defending national sovereignty. 8, pledging to restore America's standing in the world but lowering it instead. 9, stabbing Mubarak in the back after calling him a stalwart ally. 10, killing the NASA manned space program. These are the 10 worst things Obama has done that they say would have made even Jimmy Carter blush. Unbelievable. And speaking of the budget, budget tricks helped Obama save programs from cuts. And we have a complete list of them. It was all playing around with things. And the fact of the matter is, NPR was spared, PBS was spared, the National Institute of Health was supposed to be cut because it weighs so much money. Family planning programs were supposed to be cut. They really weren't. Homeland Security programs would have had to take their first ever cut, though much of the 2% decrease in Big Sis's department comes from a $786 million cut to first responder grants to state and local governments. The IRS would see its budget frozen but be spared the 5% cut sought by House Republicans. In other words, nothing really happened. I can't go down the list. The White House rejected GOP attempts to block the EPA's ability to issue global warming rules and other reversals of environmental regulations. Obama also forced Republicans to drop an effort to cut off Planned Parenthood from federal funding. So little was done. Very little was done. The only thing that was done was Obama cut off development of an alternative for the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, because anything that could kill the military, he's for. Now let's go to michaelsavage.com. The most pathetic, frightening, horrible, anger-inducing articles on the top left. You see a TSA agent sticking her fingers inside the pants of a six-year-old girl. I call it a feral government agent molesting a six-year-old. This TSA agent should be thrown in jail for 20 years. Do you know that if a stranger did that to your child in a mall, they'd go to jail for 30 or 40 years? And here we have a low-life gutter rat, unbelievable low-life gutter rat in the TSA putting her fingers inside a little baby's panties. The FTC is considering a broad Google antitrust probe. Gee, I wonder who suggested that one. Japanese declare crisis at level of Chernobyl. France's ban on Islamic veil met with defiance. The Associated Press is calling it defiance. They're on the side of the throwback women who wear burqas and head coverings, which, by the way, are not even required according to the Quran. This is a late adaptation of the most radical elements of the Muslim world. And yet the Associated Press is in solidarity with them, of course. Only 19% of people are still excited by Obama. Most of them are in mental hospitals. On the bottom of michaelsavage.com, ClimateGate U loses bid to stifle critic. Obama faces fight in choice of liberal and experienced judge. Who killed Pentagon insider Jack Wheeler? That's a story that you can't believe, but it's all on michaelsavage.com. And last but not least, war-weary Iraq sees economic rebound. Isn't that wonderful? Iraq has an economic rebound, and we're dying here in America, and they haven't paid us a dime, not a barrel of oil. Thank you, George Bush. All this and more on michaelsavage.com.
Savage.
Do you know what last year's interest on the national debt was? $400 billion. So, see, it's two-card, Monty. I've explained it to you for 17 years now, or as many years as I've been in radio. It's a two-card Monty system that we have, a monopoly run by two gangs, the Democrat gang and the Republican gang. Now, admittedly, the Republican gang is less communistic. Notice I say less communistic than the Democrat gang. But they're playing two-card Monty, $40 billion, $63 billion. But the interest alone last year on the national debt was $400 billion. So how are we going to climb out of this? You have to shut down 20% of all departments of the U.S. government immediately, as I called for, and trickle up poverty. You've got to cut welfare 50% right down the middle. You've got to cut back on federal pensions. You've got to force federal workers to contribute to their own pensions. I mean, there's 100 things that I can name that could be done that are not going to be done because it's two-card Monty. You understand that? Here's another article in Last Minute Action. Texas inmate disputes use of execution drug. This is the latest ploy of the vermin with law degrees. Here's a man convicted of killing a woman he met in a bar 9 years ago, scheduled to be executed today. And the Vermin Call lawyers won a last-minute reprieve. They challenged one of the drugs that is being used to kill him. Now, you know that this is nonsense. You know that this is a new ploy by the Vermin with pockmarked skin and Coca-Cola bottle glasses who went to communist schools in New York City, either Columbia Law, NYU Law, Harvard Law, three of the worst schools in the history of the world, the scourge of the West. They came out hating America, hating mother, hating father, hating the church, hating justice itself. But they claim that they have love for people on death row. They hate the newborn. They're in favor of abortion, but somehow they march to save a murderer such as this. In Texas, this guy Foster was going to be executed. And there's a nationwide shortage of sodium thiopental, one of the three drugs that have typically been used in executions. Now, the reason there's a shortage is because the Vermin with law degrees sued the manufacturer. And consequently, this has made it impossible to execute known murderers. As you know, they're using substitutes such as pentobarbital instead of sodium thiopental. Pentobarbital is a sedative that is often used to euthanize animals and to treat seizures in humans. It's a perfectly good sedative. But the Vermin with law degrees from NYU, Harvard, and NYU, Harvard, and probably Yale Law School are saying that this is cruel and inhuman punishment. Killing the woman that he killed, a Sudanese immigrant known as Mary, murdered this woman. That was not cruel and inhuman. Instead, the Vermin with law degrees, known as this type of lawyer, goes after the Department of Justice and says that it's cruel and inhumane. And Maury Levin, here we go again. Maury Levin, one of Foster's lawyers, said Monday that Texas had failed to adhere to its own administrative rules when it decided to switch to pentobarbital and that it had not properly notified the public of the charge change. Maury Levin, I have one word for you, only I can't give it on the radio. Maury Levin, all I can say is you're a shame to your parents, to your grandparents, and your own people. And Maury Levin, I have a few other things I'd say to you if I could meet you in person, Maury. All I can say is you're a suicidal, psychotic sack of garbage, in my humble opinion. Mr. Foster's other lawyers, listen to this fat piece of garbage on death row, has lawyers. Now, who's paying for the lawyers? You want to know budget cuts? You talk about a country that's bankrupt? Where do you think this guy Foster gets his lawyers from? You pay for it, you schmuck. The state pays for these lawyers like Levin. Where do you think the money comes from? Foster's lawyers also say the state used an invalid federal permit to buy pentobarbital. I can't believe this. Oh, she's Ms. Levin. I'm sorry. Given the frequency of which we carry out this ultimate act, it should be done in compliance with the law, with transparency and deliberateness and care, said Ms. Levin. Ms. Levin, who also teaches at the University of Texas. Ms. Levin said it is experimental, a drug that is brand new to lethal injections. Ms. Levin, I have certain words for you that I cannot repeat on this radio show. All I can say is you're ashamed to your ancestors and to your own people, and that you should hide your head in shame. Anyway, this is the current of the country we live in. Now, who did he kill? Foster and his roommate, Sheldon Ward, were convicted of murdering Ms. Powell in 2002. Her nude body was found in a creek bed in a wooded area the next morning. She had been shot once in the head. Ms. Levin, are you listening, Ms. Levin? Ms. Levin. They shot the woman after brutalizing her. The two had met Ms. Powell at Fat Albert's Bar in Fort Worth. Witnesses said the three had chatted there, and that as Ms. Powell drove away, the two men followed in Mr. Foster's truck. Now, shall I go into the details? Anyway, they shot her. God knows what they did to her before it. Mr. Foster said he had taken sleeping pills and was passed out at the time of Ms. Powell's death. You hear this? In a statement on a Facebook page created for this fat slob murderer from hell, Foster has written, quote, I was convicted February of 04 and am now on death row waiting to die for a crime another man has confessed to. I am not a rich man, nor is my family able to hire the proper lawyers willing to fight and prove my innocence. I do enjoy writing people, so if you'd like to write, please do. I would also like to ask those who pray, please add me to your prayer list. Ms. Levin, I have a few other words for you, but I can't read on the radio. But it's a shame that you wrote this for your client on your Facebook page. But I would say that if sodium pento whatever thol is cruel and inhumane, give him the firing squad in Texas, if that's a little more humane, or hang him. There's no drug involved there. The rope is all American. The rope is probably made in America. The rope is probably not cruel and inhumane. the rope has been tried many, many times, or they bring back the electric chair for this fat slob who killed this woman. Ms. Levin. Ms. Levin, how much money have you made on this case so far, Ms. Levin? Because let me tell you something. If I were president and I had the power, I'd investigate you, Ms. Levin. I'd investigate every lawyer on every death row case in the United States of America going back 10 years. And I'd see how much money they stole from the public, whether it be state or federal, to defend the indefensible. These are the same people who believe babies that are unborn should be executed, but that well-known murderers, rapists, terrorists should be given every reasonable doubt. Why did they do this? Well, it goes back to the red diaper dopa baby that they are. It goes back to the fact that their parents were no doubt lifetime America haters and communists and socialists who poisoned their minds. So in a sense, you could say that these lawyers are not to blame for their psychosis. But at a certain point, everyone becomes an adult, and therefore they become responsible for their own actions. So I would say that they are. Once they get the law degree, they're responsible for what they do. It doesn't matter that they were red diaper dopa babies or RDDBs, raised with parents who are communists, as I say, and then they used too much marijuana along the way, which created a toxic combination, which has resulted in the communist lawyer who has nothing but contempt for the unborn and nothing but love for the mass murderer. Red diaper dopa baby. You understand how this works?
Savage.
Well, we know that the socialized medicine called Obamacare was forced down our throats, with most of the idiotic lawmakers not even reading the bill. Now, it turns out that many of those groups that were supporting Obamacare stand to make a bunch of money off of it. No kidding. It's all in trickle-up poverty. Joining us now from the Cato Institute is Michael Tanner.
Well, Michael, it's great to be back with you.
In a recent article, you said that AARP stands to make money off of Obamacare. Well, I know this because it's in trickle-up poverty. How much money, though, are we talking about?
Well, of course, AARP, which many people think of as simply a lobby for seniors or an advocacy group to take money from young people and give it to retirees, is actually a business. It is one of the largest insurance companies in America. It has over $2 billion in assets, makes over $1 billion a year in profits from its insurance business. And it turns out it is going to make a huge amount of money from Obamacare, which, given the fact that it was a major lobby pushing to get Obamacare passed, I guess should come as no surprise. Essentially, there is a provision in Obamacare that severely cuts back the Medicare Advantage program. About one in five seniors currently participates in Medicare Advantage, which is a private insurance program. Medicare pays private insurance companies to offer this insurance to individuals, and they receive benefits that are in excess of what's in traditional Medicare. Obamacare will severely cut back those programs, and about 7 million seniors will lose their current program, be forced back into traditional Medicare, and lose those additional benefits. In order to keep those benefits, many of those seniors will have to go out and buy what's called Medigap policies, meaning many seniors already have them. Additional seniors will have to buy them. Well, the largest seller of Medigap policies in the U.S. just happens to be AARP.
Why is there no outcry over this?
Well, in many ways, there's just so many bad things that keep coming out about Obamacare, it's hard to keep up with them. Just a couple of days before the AARP numbers came out, it was revealed that there's a $5 billion slush fund, for example, that has been giving money to unions and big corporations to help pay for early retirees' health care. That over almost $2 billion has already been given out to companies such as AT&T, Verizon, and to big unions like the United Auto Workers. These companies are being paid, in effect, to incentivize early retirement among their employees, and we're footing the bill.
Well, shouldn't there be some need before we throw money away?
Well, it's particularly interesting that there is no provision in the law that says these companies must demonstrate need before they get the money. It seems to be largely on the basis of how politically connected you are.
Well, it's just another payoff to special interests.
Well, it seems for all the anti-business rhetoric that the president tends to use, that a lot of his corporate friends do pretty well. It's sort of a type of crony capitalism. It's not free market, and people should never confuse the idea of free market capitalism with support for big business. Big business is always too happy to get in bed with government in order to drive its competitors out of business or get subsidies for itself. That has nothing to do with the free market. The free market is about the free exchange of goods, about people being able to purchase what they want, hire the workers they want, pay what they want, receive the jobs that they want. That's very different than a lot of cases than what big business asks for.
Even big pharmaceuticals got something?
Well, there's a reason why they spent about $150 million advertising in favor of the health care bill. For example, it's now required that every insurance policy in America cover pharmaceutical products, and that's going to only mean more profits for the pharmaceutical industry. But don't feel too bad for the insurers. They got a mandate that everyone in America has to buy their product, and they can simply pass on the cost of the new mandates and regulation by raising their premiums. And what can we do about it? There's no choice now. We have to buy it.
It seems that most of the organizations that supported Obamacare are getting waivers, so they don't have to participate in it.
Yeah, isn't that a big surprise that after telling us how good Obamacare was for us, many of the organizations that kept pushing for it are now getting waivers from its provisions? There's been over 1,000 waivers given out so far. About a third of them, interestingly, have gone to union groups, everyone from the American Federation of Teachers to the Service Employees International Union and the Teamsters have gotten waivers from provisions of Obamacare. One would think that if they thought it was so good, they might actually live up to its provisions.
That's the way it works in communist countries.
Well, I think there's going to be a big fight over it. First of all, in the upcoming continuing resolution battle, the potential shutdown of the government, one of the provisions in dispute is whether there's going to be a rider defunding Obamacare for the rest of the year. Some House Republicans are insisting on that. The Democrats in the Senate are saying they will not accept it. So that's one of the things that could provoke a government shutdown. Regardless of what we see for this coming week or next couple of weeks, there's going to be a big fight in the 2012 budget. Since Paul Ryan's budget that he just introduced envisions the repeal of Obamacare, does not include any money to fund it, we're going to see this fight go on for some time. I think people have to pay attention to what's coming out here, and people need to stay involved. Obamacare is not yesterday's issue. It's not a case of where this passed, and now we have to live with it. Let's just forget about it, move on to the next issue. It is still hot, and people need to recognize that that it is not going away as an issue.
Mike Tanner, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it very much. If they want to find out more about it, they can come to our website, www.cato.org.
This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Sex discrimination caused woman's heart attack, says a lawsuit. What shyster did this? I'd like to meet the lawyer who did this. Millions of years of evolution to produce this shyster in a law with a law degree. Sex discrimination caused woman's heart attack. On-the-job harassment got this woman so upset she had a heart attack, said the lawyer. Mahasti Kusha claims that incessant abuse by her male manager at the Eaton Corp caused her to keel over in the company's Edison, New Jersey parking lot. Ms. Kusha's cardiologist told her that her work-related stress had caused the blood vessels to contract, creating blockage in her veins, court papers charge. Kusha is suing Eaton, an industrial equipment manufacturing company, over gender hostility and discrimination. Class action complaint filed in Manhattan. I want to see the lawyer's name. That's the one. Move on. Why don't they name the lawyer and show where they live? Can't they give us the lawyer's name and the name of his children and where they all live and which colleges they go to? Can't the journalists do a legitimate job of naming the lawyers and their children and where their children go to college? Are you kidding me? Sex discrimination caused a woman's heart attack? Okay, we'll let that one go. Let us see what else. Tiger Mom's cub rips competition, receives her acceptance to Harvard. Remember I told you about the Tiger Mom? That was a good story. What is? Let me see. 1 in 5 U.S. moms have kids who have different birth fathers. What is that? What's that double talk? 1 in 5 U.S. moms. Wait a minute. Let's see if I can deconstruct this from the New York Daily News. 1 in 5 U.S. moms have kids who have different birth fathers. I can't even understand what that sentence means. What is a different birth father? What does that mean? Do you understand what that means? Researchers are also surprised by the numbers jump with moms with more than 2 kids. 28% have kids with at least 2 different men. Earlier studies, I can't even understand this. What does it show, that more women who are not married are producing welfare brats? Is that what it is? The reason, divorce and remarriage, not just single motherhood, said the study's author. Data shows 43% of the women with kids with multiple dads were married when their first babies were born. Kids from multiple dads. Their dads like dogs are dads. I knew a dad like that, some North Beach poet. He once boasted to me, I'm a father. I said, my dog is more of a father than you are. You fornicated with someone here in the North Beach area. You had a baby. You're a father. You never gave them a dime and you never stuck around. I said, my dog is more loyal to his litter than you are to your children. Unbelievable, too. Maybe they could go on Judge Judy and start crying. A lack of welfare and lack of understanding. Do you think families where the kids have different fathers have a tougher time? What do I care about that? My mother and father stuck together their whole lives. What do I care about these kind of crazy stories with a broken society? The Republican-backed budget for the remainder of 2011 proposed to cut $61 billion. Obama's saying, well, we'll agree to $40 billion cut. Last year's interest on the national debt, $400 billion. No, it needs a radical hysterectomy. The government needs a hysterectomy if it's to survive. Because right now, its virtual ovaries are infected. There's nothing else that could save this government. It needs radical surgery and radical chemotherapy. No holistic medicine can save this country. And I don't see any of the candidates out there who are capable of this on the Republican side. Forget the communists on the left. Forget the communists. I don't see anyone on the right, because there's no one on the right. They're all from the center left. The entire Republican Party is a center left party. I would think that with a rational plan of the kind I outlined in some of my previous books, and I'm not here to sell you a book, with a radical, radical surgery of the federal government on pensions, on welfare overhaul, on deportation of illegal immigrants, particularly to start with those in prisons. 30% of all prisoners are illegal aliens. You deport them. You know how many billions of dollars you could save? Billions and billions and billions of dollars, and they start to add up. Corporate welfare, you cut it immediately. You make General Electric, for example, pay federal income tax. You know that last year they earned $5 billion domestically and paid zero income tax through loopholes that they wrote into the tax law by taking former IRS agents to work for them. So you make American corporations pay their fair share of taxes. You cut out all welfare for immigrants, number one. You deport all immigrant aliens in prison. That's 30% of the prison population. You cut each department of the federal government across the board by 20% the first year, 20%. You cut back federal pensions by 20% the first year, and you force all federal workers from day one to start contributing to their own pensions. You'll have a real cleanup going on. But unless you get a political nature that we need, you're not going to have it. Let's see. Rudy Giuliani. Oh, God. Why is he back again? Why is he bothering us again? Let's listen to clip 15.
You got a good look for a Godfather part. Yeah. I could have seen you being like the Robert Duvall character. Yeah.
I played the Marlon Brando role.
Oh, you did?
I put the...
I'm grading, I'm sorry.
I put the gauze in my mouth. How do we ever let things get this far? How could...
Is that funny?
How can you ask me these questions? How
is
can you
funny?
Ask me these questions?
Why is this moron from England? Why is this limey laughing at everything that Giuliani does? Who asked for this limey on CNN? He'll die. I mean, when I say die, you know, the media die. And media, it's like break a leg. You can't even say break a leg anymore. Someone says they're going on stage, you say break a leg, you get arrested by the FBI. They could file a charge against you for saying break a leg to someone going on the stage. I don't even know where that came from, break a leg. Someone's about to start a show. You say, break a leg. Where'd that come from? It's supposed to be the opposite of don't break a leg. I don't use that phrase. I knew someone who was going to start a radio show. He sent to me, thank you for giving me a break in the beginning, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I would say break a leg, but I don't really like the phrase. I've always felt uncomfortable because most of the people who said it to me meant it. Moreover, I said to another guy, I don't complain to anybody. He said, why not? I said, because 80% of the people don't listen to you, and the other 20% are glad to hear it's happening to you. So there's no point in complaining. That's why I say I don't say break a leg. Anyone who says it to me when I go on the air, they really mean it. So I don't even listen to them. 1-800-449-8255. I don't want to have perfectly good moods because then it'll be like living in a dreamland. I'll start to think Obama's a good president. His jokes make sense. Eric Holder's a fine attorney general. Everything is fine. The sky is blue. Everything's perfect. And I'll be like, in other words, the average American. Tampa, Florida. Sean, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir, Dr. Savage. I almost don't want to ask this question now, but I was going to ask you, kind of for bombarded on TV, I see all the antidepressant drugs. Are there any natural herbs, teas?
Oh, yeah. Just ask Charlie Sheen. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll will work a miracle.
Well, I guess there's always that. But I was looking for things that could possibly be not.
Okay. No, I try the cheap answer. It's funny. A natural antidepressant. You mean in vitamins? Of course. High doses of vitamin C will definitely elevate your mood. As will high doses of niacin and the other B vitamins affect your mood. Directly, unequivocally, I don't need a crackpot from any of the universities to deny it because it's true. That's all. And the reason you don't read it is because they can't patent any of this. You cannot patent a vitamin. And consequently, vitamins are the cheapest form of medication and the best form of medication in the cases where they work. Certainly, legitimate drugs, or I'll call them mainstream medical drugs, are certainly lifesavers when they are required. But they should be used as a last resort, not a first resort. And I've written about this for 30 years. I'm a national treasure. I should be invited to the White House because I'd redo the Obama menu for the next dinner that they serve. Believe me, it wouldn't have short ribs on it with honeysuckle pie. Believe me, they wouldn't be serving ice cream for dessert. Invite Michael Savage to the White House. I'll show you what the menu would be. It wouldn't be that. Probably be calamari. Calamari appetizer, cold calamari appetizer. Oh, the special eggplant that I eat. The other night I go into the North Beach restaurant. They know already. It's the eggplant with no cheese. Then the calamari. You know what I had for dinner? You won't believe it. I'm going to go back in a minute. It was later at night already. I didn't want to eat. I said, just give me the potatoes and the chard. No butter. And skip the main course. That is, Peter says to me, you just want the potatoes and the Swiss chard? Yeah, and I said, skip. I don't need the veal. I don't need the chicken. I don't need the fish. Because most people think that they need a protein, whatever. What do you need it for? I had a big lunch in the Indian buffet that day anyway. It was enough with the tandoori chicken coming out of my ears. So, you know, watch your protein intake. There's only so much your body needs and wants. You don't need that high a protein diet. So at night, I mean, I did the potatoes. I slept like a baby, an agitated baby. I got 2 good hours that night. I don't sleep very good lately. I'm worried about the world. I'm waking up with nightmares about the world. I'm hearing Obama talking in my sleep now. It's awful. I see the first lady lecturing about carrots, that if you don't plant them, you get arrested, while she's hiding a cheeseburger behind a dress. I don't know. It's just like, it's crazy imagery. Like the Black Panthers come to the house and make sure you have a zucchini garden. And meanwhile, they're going out to their bulletproof cars to eat cheeseburgers. It's weird images I'm getting. I don't know. Just can't sleep. It's just freaky. Just freaky, this government. It's such filled with such liars. Look, they're all okay. There's nothing new under the sun. Like my mother said when she was alive, God rest her soul, when Bill Clinton got caught with the Monica Lewinsky, she didn't get excited. What she said was, they all do it. I mean, who's they all do it? What, men or presidents? I didn't know what she was talking about. Because she had a very negative view of men to begin with. So to her, a president was just another man. He was a dog. In other words, she wasn't shocked. She was an old-timer about those things. They all do it. I said, what, who's they, men? She didn't answer me. She had a strange way. She wouldn't answer. You got to figure it out for yourself. I don't think she knew herself who she meant. They all justified Clinton's shenanigans. All the feminists, I remember when he got caught, they all said, oh, it's just shenanigans. But if a Republican looks the other way at the woman, right away it's rape, state rape, just to look at them. A Democrat actually rapes a woman in the White House, and they call it a shenanigan. All right. Any wonder I don't want to do politics? Let's have a breaker for the minute. No break. No, I didn't say go to a break. Don't. I want to look at my song sheet now. Let me just go down a list. Kansas City, no. Teenager in Love, no. Tequila by the Champs, no. Eddie, My Love, no. Bebopalula, no. Blueberry Hill, no. I Ran All the Way Home, I Played. Book of Love, I Played. Little Star, I Played. Do You Wanna Dance? No. How about Bye Bye Love by the Everly Brothers? Right now on the Savage Nation, we've got the Everly Brothers and Bye Bye Love.
Bye Bye Love. Bye Bye Happiness. Hello Loneliness. I think I'm gonna cry. Bye Bye.
And Bye Lamb.
Bye Bye Sweet Caress. Hello.
See, it's a classic American song. This song cannot be played in Saudi Arabia. It's too American. One day they're liable to pass a law that says you can't play an American song from the Southeast circa 1960 because it's too offensive to the Muslims.
Savage.